We are not in the studio. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. If you notice, that's not our usual call-in number. You're paying attention, and that's great. And that's also because we're live in front of a studio audience in Oklahoma City. Hey, everybody. Actually, it's not Oklahoma City. It's Edmond. That's something that happens a lot.
We're close enough.
Yeah. Throw a dart, and if you get anywhere near the target, you're happy. This part of the world has been really, it's been in our minds a lot lately because of just some of the weird things that happen and how, and sort of the interesting fight that the free thought community here in Oklahoma has. And so we look forward to talking about that today. And to help us talk about that is Red McCall. And he's the president and meetup organizer for Oklahoma Atheists, or AOK.
Love it.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yes, definitely applaud yourselves.
An electrical engineer by trade, he's a vocal atheist focused on building a community of freethinkers that challenges stereotypes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Great.
I would like to name this episode,
okay,
if I could, Between Two Ponytails. What do you think about
Between
that?
Between Two Ponytails.
Yeah.
I am flanked on either side by two shoulder length and below ponytails. One red, one blonde.
Yeah. Between Two Ponytails. I think I'm stuck with it now that you've done it on the show. And I think that might have been part of the plan. So tell us about Edmond in Oklahoma City. How is the free thought community here put together?
Well, Edmond is a suburb of Oklahoma City. We have quite a few surrounding suburbs. Oklahoma City, as far as AOK, is an extremely large group. Obviously, you're familiar with meetup.com. We are, out of 760-some-odd meetup groups, we are the seventh largest, actually, on there that use the term atheists.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
nice.
Reddit has the number one spot because they have so many tags in theirs,
wow.
But... Yeah. So we're extremely active. We have almost 1,600 members right now, the 1,600 active members.
Okay, that is well larger than most of the meetup communities we've been meeting up so far.
That is a critical mass there.
Yeah. I don't know about critical mass. I hope not. Yeah. Almost 30 meetups a month. So sometimes we'll have three a day. Sometimes we'll have one just every day of the week.
That's an interesting question, because with Washington, we try very hard to not collide, you know, so that you can decide to make it to an event based upon the event itself. How does it look to the community when you've just got this constant flow of interesting things going on?
Well, our meetups are actually kind of divided up a little bit. You know, we have anything from social, political, educational, parenting, volunteer work, outreach. We have quite a few different ones. We just want to keep people busy, and that's kind of the main idea.
That's fairly awesome. So things that might happen on the same day, they might serve different segments of
Correct.
The community.
Yeah, that's kind of what we try to do thus far. We're so big now that we can really have two different social meetups on the same day. When we were smaller, we tried not to have them crash into each other like that. But at our current size, yeah, we can absolutely have a social meetup at a bar, and then later on we can end up having a dinner.
Wow, one of the things that we've been hearing is, you know, that you have people with families and you have people, you know, different segments sort of and spread out geographically. Is that sort of what you're finding?
Yes. Oklahoma Atheists, we really focus on Oklahoma City, but we have a lot of people because Oklahoma City is so large. We have a lot of surrounding cities, you know, whether it be Norman, you know, anything from Enid to Lawton to now we're trying to set up things in Stillwater. So, yeah, those are really geographically isolated, and we try to also help them out as well.
That's great. Can you give us some example of the types of things that you get together? Like, is there a book club? What kind of stuff do you do?
Yeah, as far as social meetups, one of our biggest ones is actually our largest ones is our pizza meetup. And it's been consistent over the years. We actually had to throttle it back because we were getting 70, 75 people showing up at this
wow.
pizza place.
That's significant.
Yeah. And it was just overwhelming to the staff, and it was really loud. And so we ended up throttling that back and basically just making a secondary meetup. And we have that at Johnny Carino's, which is outside Oklahoma City. But yeah, just kind of depends upon the type of meetup, you know, whether if it's a social one. You know, we have all sorts of different social ones. Those are kind of the bread and butter of our group.
Yeah.
But we also have, even next Tuesday, we have a political meetup that's in this room. Our parenting group actually just split off because they're self-sustaining now. So they have so much interest in the secular parenting side that they are their own self-sustaining group.
That is a huge mark of a hugely successful sort of community that's being built when you're able to have different segments be self-sustaining, have their own sort of leadership. So
that's personally really gratifying to hear. I think, you know, like Camp Quest, which I know you guys have Camp Quest, Oklahoma out here.
Yes.
It's having one of the things I hear a lot about from atheists is how difficult it was being a non-believer as a kid. It's the second, it's like you get a lot of people who convert away, but then there's also a smaller population who grew up as an atheist. But being an atheist in a religious substrate society, it's a lot of difficult. So having those tools out there, I think, is really important. We asked you guys about sort of the stuff that goes on around here, and there is a lot of it. There is a lot of stuff happening. For example, you guys have a outreach booth at the Oklahoma City Peace Festival. What is the Oklahoma City Peace Festival?
That's just one of the booths that we actually have. We have Pride Festival. We go to Halloween parades and things like that. But the Peace Festival is there's a lot of different religious groups. There's a lot of different type of arts, crafts type things. And that actually happens out of the Civic Center. But it's always been really nice to us. So whenever I started with the group, we were already out there. But we pick up a lot of members. There's a lot of people that go to those that have no idea that we're here. They're like, oh, I've been secular, or I've been an atheist or agnostic or a skeptic or anything like that. And they have no idea that we're here. So
do you get the other side of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, oddly enough, you know, from doing the Pride Festival and, we have had probably the most irate person at the Peace Festival. Oddly enough.
Were they protesting and irate at the other booths at the Peace Festival?
Not that I don't know. We were kind of locked in. As far as outreach, we really, really try not to engage any kind of debates like that. Yeah. It just really tends to turn a lot of potential people away. But yeah, the guy was reaching over the table, pointing fingers at us and yelling, "You're going to hell." Yeah.
Well, I want to get to that debate thing in a moment, but clearly he's a Christian and saying, you know, you're going to go to hell and you're helping other people go to hell or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't lived life. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You know. We've done our fair share of boothing. And I'll be honest with you. I think I've got more "you're wrong, you're bad" than the other kind.
Yeah. I mean, the Seattle area, the greater Seattle area, is a very secular minded place, or just generally live and let live in a lot of ways. But when you have something like a street fair, particularly the University District street fair, it will tend to attract people that like engaging in some of the different religious booths and different community booths for the purpose of debating and yelling.
They say it's live and let live, but sometimes it's please don't tell us you exist.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Is another way of live and let live.
Yeah, we get a lot of drive-bys, people walking by, going, you know, scoffing at us, giving us dirty looks, things like that, and we just like waving.
Yeah.
You know?
I think my favorite one is, well, that's an interesting perspective, and that's sort of how I personally will deflect some of those things at those booths.
I think my favorite is, we actually have, with the Seattle Atheist booth, we have a little bucket, and it says, ask an atheist a question. 25 cents. And it's just a way to get attention. We don't actually expect people to put a quarter in it, except this one guy came up and said, "Wait, you're making us pay to ask questions? What is that?" So I put a fiver in and say, "What do you want?"
And then he suddenly had very few questions.
I have to go now. Like, yeah. Okay, there you go.
No, it's really nice to dispel a lot of stereotypes. People come up and they're like, "Oh, why are you here? What's the deal?"
Yeah.
And then we get to tell them about it. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many people still think that we're connected with Satanism. And So it's good to dispel a lot of rumors, but in no way do we want to sit there and debate with anybody that's incorrigible.
So that's the thing, is debate seems to be the lifeblood of the free thought community if you look at it from some perspectives. I know in my, I like debate. I like watching debates. I like, I certainly like sitting in a bar and, you know, mumbling about things.
Oh, absolutely.
As you do.
Yeah.
So how do you avoid looking like a debate society in this case?
Well, the outreach booths specifically are, you know, we quietly just say, "Hey, I'm sorry, we're not here for debate. We're really just here looking for our people." And that's the big difference between a lot of the religious booths versus ours, is that they're proselytizing and we're just trying to find our people.
Right.
So it's really easy to just say, "Hey, I'm sorry, we're not here for that. Here's an email. You can email me. You can email a couple other people that are here. We'll talk about it later." As far as the debate, we just try to help people with tact. On how to actually do debate in that sense. For instance, we have classes that our education chair is currently working on to doing formal and informal debate. So, I mean, we definitely we have a lot of people that really like debate class and like a lot of the debates.
Wait, so you're building a curriculum for how to debate and how to do correct. It respectfully.
Yeah, how to actually counter proselytize, you know, things like that. So it's pretty
fun.
May
I suggest making that curriculum public somewhere so other people might learn from your
sure.
your work?
Yes.
Because I think there will probably be a bunch of listeners all around the country that would really enjoy something like that.
Yeah. Everyone I know could use use that. And I include myself. That would be fantastic. That's an amazing idea. Speaking of amazing things, we have a newspaper right here called Spiritual Life.
Is this the Spiritual Life section of the Oklahoma?
There we go, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
pardon. Anyway, 2/3 of it is this big blown up thing about the many faces of Oklahoma atheism. How?
Yeah, how did you swing that? And I've read the article. It's a fairly complimentary one.
I can't even be that articulate. How?
How? Well, it's kind of a long story, but it's basically just being available. As long as we have a public presence and people know how to actually find a way to be able to email the group and be able, we get a lot of PR through our public Facebook page and making sure that email addresses are everywhere. So we ended up having this particular journalist contact us a long time ago when the Pew results came out last, I believe it was September of last year, and she did a fantastic article, and that actually ended up leading to our CBS Sunday Morning interview, our national interview. Then from there, I contacted her again, and she's like, "Oh, I always wanted to do a big article on atheism in Oklahoma. We should get together and do one." So we did, and we had several members from the group actually help out, and then it got put on the back burner, and 5.5 months later, we finally have the new revision. That was kind of the thing, is that this is completely redone, and they're like, yeah, we want it to be our centerpiece article. It's going to end up being a couple pages. It has good pictures in it and everything. The pictures are debatable, but but yeah.
There's a reason I'm on radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is really incredible, and this only came out This came out in July now, right?
Yes. Yeah,
but so the whole thing had been processed, and you'd done the interviews earlier
correct.
In the spring.
Yeah, there was some catalysts that kind of helped spring it along or push it along. And like I said, it was kind of on the back burner. Their journalists are kind of at the whim of the editor, whatever the editor really wants to do. So it wasn't until we ended up having some more national attention, specifically a CNN interview that shed a new light on the whole atheism in Oklahoma.
And are you speaking now of Rebecca Vitzman and her? And
yes.
I think she's up in the corner of the.
Yes,
you've become
is.
Kind of a hero to the atheist community. So there she is.
Yes.
I didn't know that she was going to be here. Now
surprise.
I suddenly feel very
nervous. Are you nervous?
I'm not often nervous, but here I am.
But this was, you know, Wolf Blitzer saying, you know, did you thank the Lord? And no, actually, I'm an atheist.
Has there been a response to this in the Times here? To the newspaper?
In the Oklahoman?
Yeah.
Oh, as far as feedback from this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's in the newspaper. You know, a lot of young people don't necessarily subscribe to the newspaper, but we did get a lot of the older demographics, so that was great. And then only a few pieces of hate mail actually came through, so all in all, yeah, it was really good. And see, the thing is it doesn't really matter. Whenever you end up having, like, whether it's a billboard, whether you're on the news or anything, it's not really those segments. It's really how you handle it in the social media.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. You know, whenever we have big things like this, they're like, the atheists were in the newspaper? I haven't looked at the newspaper in years. Let's read this article. We just wanted to make sure that it was absolutely available. And through that, we've received a lot of feedback. So the actual paper itself and people joining and saying it's because of the paper, we've had maybe about 10.
Wow.
But through the social media, we've had a huge spike because of that.
So I have to admit that there is a lot going on in Oklahoma. I mean, there seems to be a lot of good things happening in Oklahoma, and I'd like to talk more about that.
Okay.
But I've been angry lately about a few things that have been happening, specifically in the press. And when we come
I know where
back
this is
from,
going.
Yeah, when we come back from the break... I'd like to talk about that a little bit. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to take a break when we come back. I'm probably going to get mad for a couple months, man.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. We are in Edmond, Oklahoma, talking with Red McCall, the president of AOK. That's Atheists of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma Atheists.
Sorry, AOK. I know.
We have University of Oklahoma, but their logo is OU. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think you can kind of tell that I've been on the road a while now.
It looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing where this is radio.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you're so complimentary.
You're getting it.
Yes.
In the last few episodes, actually in the couple episodes leading up to the tour, I've been talking a lot about Joe Klein, who is a journalist for Time Magazine.
Well, journalist. Well, yeah.
I don't know what qualifies as a journalist. His place of business calls him a journalist, so I'll just go with it. Saying that the usual trope that we've heard in the free thought community, here is a disaster, where are the atheists? What was the response here? Basically,
Organized outrage.
Organized outrage.
We'll say that. There were a lot of letters that were written back, written in, and some of those were published. And yeah, so then he ended up issuing his heavy quotation fingers apology.
Yeah.
And then that did nothing but kind of poke the bunny.
I think it was more of a rebuttal, if anything.
Yeah, it wasn't an apology at all. It was just, you know, being defensive.
Poke the bunny?
Yeah, just making it, you poke it over and over and eventually gets angry and bites you. And then you're like, oh, bad bunny.
I like that. Oh, that's wow. Good.
I thought that's an old internet meme. I'm sorry.
I'm keeping that. Really?
Yeah, there was a specific game for that. Anyway.
Well, I'm keeping that one.
Yeah. So,
did you get a response with the letter writing campaign? Did you actually get a response from Time or from Joe Klein?
We ended up having a person reaching out to Time and ended up doing an interview with them. I don't know where the stage is on that one just yet. And so, we've had some issues with that as far as people's response to Joe Klein and, you know, just trying to tell people, okay, let's not go overboard. You know, we don't want to be the type of stereotype that has been pointed out. But yeah, the idea is, we don't just go out and wear a lot of shirts that say, hey, the humanists are the atheists are here. That's kind of the next thing.
That's exactly it. I've told the story before, but I know there's a lot of new folks in the audience. I've had my own run-in with this in the past locally. Back in the Haiti earthquake, that we have the News Tribune in Tacoma, and somebody wrote, actually it was an editorial piece, so it was the editorial of the newspaper, saying, look at all these religious people going out to Haiti, offering them help, offering them assistance, helping to put back together their infrastructure. Where are all these atheists that we keep hearing about?
Yep.
They're nowhere to be found. And I read this about 10 minutes after I had just given a fair amount of money to the Red Cross, specifically for the Haiti earthquake. Earlier that day, Tacoma Atheists which is not an organized group by any means, was looking to do something.
And Seattle Atheists had put all the links up for Red Cross and Doctors Without Borders. Yeah. And what's the Richard Dawkins response one? It's something like Atheists Giving Aid, I think is what it is.
That's it.
And so it was really right there, accessible via internet as well. Just as all of your efforts in the community here were.
That's exactly it. You could do one internet search.
Yeah.
One. I mean, three words in Google, and Joe Klein's argument is completely destroyed. This is even a situation, this isn't like pseudoscience where somebody, this isn't the autism vaccine thing where you actually kind of have to pay attention to the evidence in order to understand that this is a bad idea. This is just a Google search. You're doing exactly what we complain about, that what you're replacing journalism with. We say, you're replacing journalism with Google. But apparently, they're not even using Google. They're just writing whatever occurs to them.
Yeah. The nice thing was that we were able to give a really good rebuttal to them and say, well, what you're saying is not true. We have gone out. You know, AOK personally reached out to a lot of those groups. You know, you talked about Atheists Giving Aid. You know, We Are Atheism. We had an outpouring of support. And we just had a lot of people. Teresa McBain from her group, Humanists of Florida. Foundation Beyond Belief raised $44,000. We had American Atheists. We contacted a lot of different people and actually did a lot of good in the community. And then also for our own members that were devastated as well, that had lost jobs, had lost their houses and other family members, things like that.
When we faced this with the Haiti earthquake, we offered to write a rebuttal in the News Tribune, and they said absolutely not.
And said, you can comment online and that'll be good enough.
Which basically made it very clear what the News Tribune thought of the free thought community. So we basically don't pay attention to them and we tell people not to buy the magazine. It's really nice to hear that you guys are actually opening a dialogue, and it's nice to have this concrete proof of the things that are going on and the kind of help that's being had.
We just need to wear more shirts, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's it. There's a line between finding your community, which is what you're trying to do with the booth. You're just trying to find other atheists. Yeah. And then the line of evangelism, where this is the sort of the unspoken thing about all this charity that religious people are doing. They're not doing it to help people so much. I mean, there's a lot of people who are trying to help people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the stated purpose of these religious organizations is not just to help people, but to do the Great Commission, to go out there and make more Christians.
Yeah.
And that's not something that the freethought community seems to be particularly interested in. Well, making more freethought people just by helping them doesn't seem to be something that we're interested in. And so there aren't the t-shirts.
Right.
Maybe it's, do you think it's time for the t-shirts?
I could say that.
Okay.
I mean, we already have a lot of t-shirts out there. There's a lot of different options. You know, Foundation Beyond Relief has a shirt that's out right now. Humanism at Work. Thank you, Vitzman.
Okay. Humanism at Work. I like that one. That's a good one. Might steal that too. There's another situation, and I'm loath to talk about it, but Camp Quest is very important to us.
Yes.
And Oklahoma had the Camp Quest meal thing with a restaurant locally?
Yes. That was just south of Tulsa. There was they had a fundraiser at Oklahoma Joe's Barbecue, and at last minute, they caught wind that the organization Camp Quest supports atheism, agnosticism, and just the whole gambit, and they were very Christian, so they decided to pull out and cancel the fundraiser while in session, I might add.
In the middle of the fundraiser, they said, oh, never mind.
Yes, they said, we will not be donating money. You know, I'm trying to remember all the things they ended up saying, because it's been a couple months ago, but yeah, just the point being is that they cut out funding.
They pocketed the money then.
Yeah, they didn't take in a lot of funds through all the meals and everything, and they gave a little bit as far as the tickets they had written up at that point.
Right.
But even still, there was a lot of people that had ordered food that didn't receive their food. They just cut off everything. They took one of the people from Camp Quest, took them outside and had a nice long talk and came back in and said everybody needs to leave.
So one of the things that I've noticed is we haven't had anything that bad. We're like mid... It's one thing to be canceled before the event. It's another thing to be canceled when the event is going on and has been going on for an hour.
Right.
That's different. But for example, Referendum 74 in Washington, which is the marriage equality bill, we raised money for Referendum 74 in support of Referendum 74, which would allow marriage equality. And the organization involved originally said, no, we don't want atheists involved because you'll scare people off. We fought, we won, and in the act of winning, we got an apology. And as a result, the atheist community really stepped up up. And we actually ended up donating double what we initially had raised because people were like, okay, they did the right thing. They need more support. Did something like that happen here?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. There's that whole adage, there's no such thing as bad PR. I'm not a follower of that, but so that was negative, but it turned into such a big positive because people from all over the place heard about this and was like, wow, that's really bad. And that, so they were holding a fundraiser obviously to bring in funds, and then they didn't have to worry about it after that.
So in the wake of these two sort of incidents, the Joe Klein with the Time magazine and the Oklahoma Joe's Barbecue pulling out of their fundraiser, you had a really good positive response from the atheist community. Did you have any kind of positive response or negative response from the general public, the presumably religious public?
Yes, there was a lot of people that were very sympathetic towards us and towards the cause. You know, we have the liberal Christians in that sense that said, we don't necessarily agree with your ideology. Heavy quotation fingers.
Yeah.
That's a shame that he did that. And yes, we will not eat there anymore and things like that. So yeah, we definitely had quite a few people sympathizing with us.
And to be fair, this is a particular franchise of Oklahoma Joe's Barbecue and not every...
Correct. Yeah. They used to be connected a long, long time ago. And that's why they're able to keep the name. But yeah, they're not affiliated with the ones like in Kansas and I'm wanting to say Missouri.
Okay. So it's just the one.
Right. Just that one location.
Great. So...
And I think that's Broken Arrow, if I remember correctly.
So one of the things that we've been talking about a lot as we go across the country is the Coalition of Reason billboards.
Ah.
And you guys have had them here, yes?
Yes, we have. Yes, we ended up doing a billboard through them or with them about 3 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and at that time, that was an absolute huge spike in membership.
Great.
Yeah, so it ended up giving us basically quadruple what we were normally getting at about that time.
Wow.
And yeah, it, once again, it's not so much that the billboard itself, the timing, or even the location, it was the subsequent news coverage that we ended up getting.
Yeah.
And now we have a huge Facebook presence, and you know, we're on Google Plus and YouTube, so we can be able to distribute those videos a little bit easier. So we're looking to try to do another billboard here pretty soon, but the Coalition of Reason being able to do that was just absolutely one of the greatest things that happened at the time.
It's been a really varied response to the billboards, and honestly, on the low end of the scale is
our area.
Is our ad. We did a billboard with the Coalition of Reason, and the response was basically whatever.
Okay, there's some atheists. It has clouds on it. It's nice.
Not so much here. We had a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
Well, we had heard earlier about California and Sacramento area where some people had spray painted.
Well, here's the difference. They put up like seven of them in Sacramento. They put up a number of them, and you put up, they did get a response, but you just put up the one.
Correct.
And got a huge response.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Of course, they always have to interview the person on the street, which around here is inevitably a Christian. And,
right.
And
we had that happen today, actually.
Yeah. And so we had those people that were just really angry. Oh, it should be taken down. You know, they don't need to be saying stuff like that. And we're, you know, their message was, good without God, join the club.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, we make our way across the country and we count our religious billboards and religious symbols as we make our way across the country. I can tell you, between Amarillo, Texas and Oklahoma City, there's a number of them.
Yeah,
a few.
A number that surpasses the digits on my body.
Including that one cross that's like 5 million feet high.
I saw it from 3 miles away.
One, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to Edmond. Yes.
We thought it was very small. It's it's just a small cross on this. No. Hold
we're
on.
Seven traveling stories. For 3 miles and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. and right in front of it also was the religious trucking company.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was something we haven't seen up there. Covenant Transport.
Yep.
The anti-abortion message on the back of it.
I was thinking it was just the one truck, but after we passed like the seventh one, I began to doubt it. But...
So anyway, atheists, no, they don't need to be saying anything on billboards,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
No.
And the guy, the best interview was the guy that he had his business below our billboard. And of course, he was all over the news. So it's a good thing for him. And he got a lot of support for what he said. But they don't need to be out here and saying their little messages and stuff. Yeah, it was really bad. There was even my Christian friends were like, that guy was horrible. They shouldn't interview people like that.
We had our run-in today.
Quite a run-in.
No,
it was pleasant enough.
It's funny. It's good and funny.
We'll judge that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's funny to me because it just happened. If you notice, a lot of our studio equipment has labeled with Ask an Atheist because we've done shows with bands and stuff like that. And you want to have it labeled in case your mixer goes elsewhere. And so we got everything on a cart and we're in the elevator. And there's some guy in the elevator with us. And he looks at his, Ask an Atheist, huh? Well, Atheist? Well, yes. Well, I love Jesus, but I've met an atheist now. I can say I rode in an elevator with an atheist.
I really wanted to tell him, you probably have ridden in elevators with atheists before.
Yeah. And then, yeah, well, we kind of intimated that. And then it's like, well, hello, nice day. It seemed like I'm ridden in an elevator with an atheist. It sounded like he wanted me to say, oh, yeah, how you doing? It's a nice weather out there. Your God is a lie. Also, you know, enjoy the sun. I don't know what to do with that.
He just seemed so taken aback that he would be in the physical presence of an atheist.
It happens.
Very strange. Like, yeah, we're doing a show. He's like, oh, you travel in the country promoting atheism? Like, not really. We're just doing it. We don't do what you do.
Don't want to change the subject, but because this is fun, but there's not much left. So,
okay, go
news
for
story.
It.
I love this news story. Church of Satan risk arrest to turn Fred Phelps' late mother gay.
The Mormons can do things after you die, so I guess I don't know if it works out the same way.
One. Church of Satan members visited the gravesite of Westboro Baptist Church's Fred Phelps' mother and performed a controversial ritual called the Pink Mass with the intention of posthumously turning Catherine Johnson gay. The cemetery owner has filed a criminal complaint, and local police in Meridian, Mississippi are preparing arrest warrants for crimes including trespass, indecent exposure, and malicious mischief.
I think I'd eat up the charge of malicious mischief in a cemetery.
Satanic Temple spokesman Lucian Greaves stated that his group has no ill will at all toward the people of Meridian and regrets the consternation he might have caused them. The ritual, which was held on July 14th, aimed to show support for marriage equality and as a response to Westboro's threat to protest the funeral of Boston Marathon bombing victims.
So, Sam, your invitation has come true.
I have often said on the show that if we really want to get, if we really want people to explain what religious privilege looks like, atheists aren't really the right crowd. Go to the Church of Satan, because now that's like actively opposed, because it's trolling, and it's an important kind of trolling.
This is, you've said this in response to some of the Ten Commandments on church, on government property, and saying, well, you know, we're allowed to be here in this part of our history. Sure, anyone can be here. Well, as soon as someone had a Church of Satan thing, then you say, oh, no, we'll pull out of government property.
You can call it an eye for an eye. You can call it tit for tat. But what I see this as is making the argument emotionally, which is sometimes necessary when the argument you're fighting against is emotional, is you have a bunch of people who are out there saying, well, they're wrong, but they're Christians. They have a right to do that. They have a right to completely ruin people's funerals, or we have a right to do this. And then you turn around and you have someone like the Church of Satan start picketing the funeral or being at funerals for Westboro Baptist Church people. Now it's an emotional argument. The tables have turned, and now you're beginning to feel a little bit of the emotionality of the people that you're offending.
Exposing privileges, in a sense, yeah.
And you're going to double down. Most people, when they face this, they double down, they grit and bear it, but it does plant a seed of doubt.
Yes.
And over a long period of time, that combined with an open and frank discussion, I think can lead to real change. And that's why I think sometimes trolling is a positive social function.
I agree, mostly. I think the only bad thing here, especially in this part of the United States, is that Satanism is tied to atheism a lot, ignorantly, because that's what they say in churches.
It's not so, just here, actually. Yeah,
no pink masses amongst these three, you know?
Tying those two together can seem like really bad PR for us, because then it's putting...
That's a very good point.
You know, it's confirmation bias in their eyes.
Well... Fair point.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we didn't suggest this to them or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is it's not just atheists who have this problem. It's like the bench in Florida. Okay, we've got the Ten Commandments. We've got the atheist bench. Where are the five pillars? Where's the Eightfold Path? Where's the maypole? Where's the, you know, where's the menorah?
You're going to have a very crowded courthouse
Every
there.
Every courthouse is going to start looking like a weird theme park if you take this to its logical conclusion. So my argument...
I'm thinking more mini golf. Religious mini golf, you know, under the bench, through the windmill, around
that
the...
That is a business plan worth having.
Over the cross bridge.
Oh, man. Yeah. And all the jokes I'm thinking of are not good for the radio. So
are there seven hills in this little putt-putt green?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Yeah, and at the end, for the ninth hole, you have to knock the ball into the eternal flame, and then it's gone.
And then Genesis just plays over the loudspeakers throughout the whole place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
this is a good business model. I kind of like it.
Yeah, so yeah. Somebody do this, please, and let us go a couple times. That's all I ask. This is Ask an Atheist 206. 420-0997. we come back from the break, we're going to start talking to people in the audience. This should be very interesting.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Not again!
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert!
Wow, that's so credible!
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you, and to give me your lunch money!
Aw, anything for family! Here you go!
Wait, Billy! Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence! Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp!
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist Conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George f***ing Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at radioversusthemartians.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. And I'd say we take some questions from the audience.
Okay, so my name's Scott. I'm a grad student here at UCO. I was wondering about the Satanist atheist sort of crossover. You know,
the association of people. Make.
Yeah, the association. That's the word I was looking for. Because Levian Satanism actually is atheism.
Well,
it's just atheism. Well, no, it is. They don't believe in any gods. They just like to have this sort of Halloweenish sort of show, and they like to do the organization and the masses and things like
that. You call
it
something specific, Sam, right?
I call it dinner theater atheism.
Right. Yeah.
They don't believe in God. They explicitly don't believe in God, but they do believe in woo to some extent. They do have sort of a supernatural outlook on like power over others and stuff like that. I made a study out of the 80s Satanic Panic, so I learned a little bit about this, but go on.
I'm wondering, do you think that that's something that we should be speaking out against or trying to call them to task on? Because they're sort of, in a sense, propagating this continuous sense of just mixing up atheism and Satanism, you know, because we have people out there who call themselves Satanists, and then somebody asks them, what is Satanism? And they say, oh, well, it's basically atheism. And that's like, it's like you were saying, confirmation bias with the people that already have this viewpoint.
Yeah, I don't like the association either, and I'm not a fan of that type of public relations, to put a lack of a better way to say it. Yeah, I don't have a good rebuttal for that as far as how to cure that or what to do about it.
I would be rather against telling Levian Satanists to, you know, cut it out and stop saying it's atheism. I think that, you know, if that's someone's way of interfacing with not believing in God, then that's their way of doing it. And I would be equally happy to say, you know, that's one way. It's not all atheists that are like this. And to be more public and more visible with the number of different ways that people don't believe in God, including humanism, including you know, naturalism, including Society for Ethical Culture, lots of different ways. And I think you'll see that as we examine more of the 20% of America that's non-religious.
I think it's weird because I think you point out something really vital here. that tells you about sort of a social hierarchy, most people won't have anything to do with us because we're considered kind of low on the totem pole. But Satanists seem to get something out of their association with us. And I think that's saying something.
It's kind of like the term atheism itself. You know, we are naming ourselves based on something that we're not.
Exactly.
But yet they are naming themselves after Satan. And yeah. It's saying that, yes, we are Satanists, whether it be satirical or whatever. I think that that's a bad move. And then to say, you know, go from something that is a supernatural and saying, we don't actually believe that. Then why are you calling yourselves that? It just, it does a lot of harm in that sense.
Now, as far as what to do about that association, I have to admit that seems a little bit low priority to me. Like, maybe it's something that we'll have to talk about someday, but it's really, you know, I'd probably want to fix the red A. I've never liked that logo before we get to that one.
As I cover the one on my shirt.
I was just, whatever came to my head. You know, that point is incredibly important. On the show, we say atheism has a two-word definition. No God. It says what I don't believe in. If you want to talk about what I want to believe in, I talk about humanism. And I think on at a certain point, be it humanism, be it skepticism, be it atheism plus, whatever you want to accentuate as the things you do believe in, we're going to have to start talking about that a little bit more. And I think that's one way to separate ourselves from the Church of Satan. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Damien Reinhardt, I just wanted to ask if you guys ever had your car broken into on the trip here?
I think he really wants us to talk about how our car was broken into.
What do you know? What do you know about this? Where were you last night?
Do you have my Minecraft shirt?
So
I did bring you a shirt, but it has a big red A on it. I heard you're out of clothes.
That actually, yes, we did have our car broken into, and some of Sam's items were taken.
The red A was a for instance. I don't actually dislike it.
Just he has,
too late. You don't get the shirt now.
He has a pin on his coat that he has, but it's too hot down here to wear that coat.
Yeah, it doesn't do well in the summer.
Before we went on tour, people were saying, oh, well, watch out. Don't have any kind of bumper stickers. Don't have any visible things because, well, you're going through Oklahoma and you're going through Missouri and people are going to attack your car and vandalize your car. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't care. And then we were in Tucson and unfortunately we did have our car burglarized and a window broken.
They took my clothes. My clothes.
As far as we can tell, it was literally just a
and my tools. My clothes and my tools. They took the essence of me in physical object form.
They also took his energy drinks and cola.
Like I said.
No.
So as far as we can tell, this had nothing to do with atheism. Nothing was really visible. It looks like it was just...
I have to admit, when it first happened, I'm like, they're attacking the atheist because there's like a big sign in the room that says, ask an atheist. But no, there's just no way it could have been. That doesn't make any sense at all. It was clearly a smash and grab.
Sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
You'll be in our prayers.
That is exactly the response I want to hear. I love that.
But on a positive note, we have across the country had some really just amazing out of the blue. Okay, so Damien, you said your name was. You said, yeah, you got a T-shirt. We had someone said, oh, I hear you're driving through New Mexico. Do you want me to come down and meet you and grab you some clothes? We had our friends from Phoenix that we had just left that said, hey, I can drive down. It's only an hour and a half. What do you need? And that was just we were blown away by that response.
That's a measure of the free thought community right there, I think, and not one I ever expected. So thank you everybody who has sent words, and there's a ton of you, so to name them would take up an entire episode in and of itself. So I'll just do a blanket thank you for now, and I will get specific later. So we have another question or comment. Hello. Hi.
Am I okay?
Yeah, you're great.
There you go.
Okay.
Hi.
Rebecca Witzman.
Oh, I think I've heard of
the
you.
The really kind, visible atheist hero that told off Wolf Blitzer.
Is there folk music yet? There should be folk music for that, I think.
I don't know. I'm taking care of a broken house and a one-year-old.
I understand.
So I'm not sure what's on the internet.
I'm trying to keep positive.
I guess it's more of a comment. I have this strange knee-jerk reaction when people talk about the tornado. Obviously, because I feel like I have a different perspective because I don't look at it from the outside. I don't look at it from what I saw in the news. I didn't actually watch the news. I don't know what was covered. I don't know what people said. I only know what the experience was like from the inside of that. And I have a problem because people seem to get really down on Christians whenever it comes to this. You know, I do know that the organizations, yes, they're into proselytizing and all this stuff. But the people who are shoveling out my house didn't say anything. They just sat there and worked, pouring sweat, you know, sunburned. They didn't say anything. They just worked as hard as they could and left. You know, I mean, they all sat in a circle and prayed with each other at the end, you know, of like 14-hour day of shoveling, you know. But, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't try to convert me. They didn't ask me anything.
I nearly made that mistake myself just now, where I said religious, like, wait, no, I mean organizations here. The stated purpose of the
definitely the organizations.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the organizations would love to know that their people are out there doing that, but they're not.
Right.
I mean, well, I'm sorry. The people who interacted with me from different churches, they were from the entire United States. I had people inside of my house from Virginia. They were from, I had people from Nashville, Memphis, who all came together and were all inside of my home helping me. It was amazing. So I have kind of a tendency to take up for them, you know, like, because I don't feel like it's as us versus them. Likewise, though, there were atheists all over the place. People were organized, but there were a lot of people who came from all over the United States who just didn't know where to go, so they just went to the church. They're just like, hi, I'm here to help.
Right.
I ran into people who were from St. Louis. They didn't know who to go to, so they just found a giant cross with a bunch of water in front of it and was like, here I am. I'm
exactly
ready to go.
So. That's not a problem with the churches.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem that we need to attend to. The fact that when you want to help somebody, you go to churches. This is something I have done.
I've actually been talking to the Foundation Beyond Belief because I feel like this is a problem. I feel like, you know, while all of these people from, you know, Memphis can just say, hi, I'm Church of Christ, let's go. And they all show up in the same shirt because they went to the Church of Christ place. I just feel like I've been talking to them about ways to figure out how, when something happens in a specific area, to get in touch with those groups and have people come and help with those groups.
That is an incredible...
Exactly. Thank you so much.
That is an incredible possibility for networking, where if you say, hey, I want to do something in response to a tragedy or in response to an event, or I want to go do... I know Harvard Humanist does spring break. They're not mission trips. They're in the spirit of what a lot of religious organizations do when you do a mission trip, but it's a service trip. And if you say, hey, here's the point people that you can go to in a particular city, and it's not a church. Sometimes cities have that kind of infrastructure where you say, come to City Hall and we'll distribute volunteers where they're needed. But what I'm hearing you say is people want to come help and they know, well, a church will distribute me to where I need to be.
Strangely enough, our city was planning stuff through the church.
Wow.
I mean, it was a very large parking lot, and yes, it had a lot of space and everything like that. And, you know, they kind of generally believe that everybody around them is an atheist. Opposite of that, sorry, a Christian. I do think that that's probably possibly why our booths don't get very many people who come who are looking for us, because they don't think we're here. And so it's sort of like they walk by and they're just like, oh, what are they doing here? You know, instead of, hey, I came out to seek you out and now I have a platform and I'm going to come after you on it.
We actually do have people that come and specifically want to talk to us, and they want to know why we're there.
I believe it now. Yeah. We're getting bigger,
absolutely.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So what I was saying before, which is something I think the free thought community needs to address, it sounds like it's being addressed, and that's great. Little dark secret of mine, I've worked with the Salvation Army on a number of occasions. not the bell ringing stuff. The other end of it. Not the army part. The disaster response stuff. I said earlier on, when I was doing the talk, that I'm into ham radio, and one of the things that you learn to do in ham radio is disaster response. And that was something that that interested me. And there was some disaster, actually, I think it was a tornado. They happened occasionally in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
The only available organization, there's Skywarn, which was for finding tornadoes, but if you wanted to help out after one had been through town, the organization I had to work with was Saturn, which was something associated with the Salvation Army. Granted, they didn't seem to be as evil back then as they are now, but it was, if I wanted to help, that was the interface that was available to me. And that's something that I would like to see the free thought community be more involved in.
Also, I just want to say, should there be something in the future, if you're coming from out of town, try to look up organizations, because, you know, try to find people who are in that town, because they'll be helping. So should those people have looked up St. Louis atheist, you know, Oklahoma, they would have found us and been able to come through us. And I feel like, you know, if you're out there and listening and should you feel compelled in the future, try to look for local organizations because they're there.
Thank you.
Often.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That's real. I think we have time for one more question. So go ahead.
Hi. My name is Frank. Bill Clinton, very much after the end of his presidency, was known quite publicly and colloquially as the first black president. And in that same vein, I think that Barack Obama, at the end of his presidency, would be very much known as the first atheist president, despite Bill Clinton literally being black or Barack Obama self-identifying as atheist. With that in mind, how do you think we can shift our interface with culture and then the larger culture's interface with us away from us trying to convince everyone else that we're right and more toward fostering a type of culture where it is not considered socially acceptable to hate us just because we're us?
So I'd like to get your guys' response to that, but there's something that you opened up with, and that's the thing about Barack Obama being the first you know, free thought president.
I'm a little stuck on that one too, keeping that in mind.
That's a low bar, if that's what it takes to cross that bar, because apparently all he's really done for us is he mentioned us in a speech once. The charity, the federally funded charity thing, he's
back. Faith-based organizations, there's been an increase actually since Bush.
I would find it very difficult to consider Barack Obama the first free thought president. That said, the question is very important, and since we are in Oklahoma, we should get how would you address that?
Visibility. That's the main thing. Show them that they're wrong, that the that when they're in church and their preachers are telling them what atheists are and what the stereotypes are, if we know what those stereotypes are, we can definitely combat them and work against them. So the one of the natural progressions obviously has been the internet. So just being able to have access to information and being able to realize that there's a none option whenever it comes to religiosity. So as far as things for us to do is just be visible, be positive, don't be your stereotype. You know, there's a lot of little bitty things that all add up together to be able to help the movement move forward. But we're winning, and whatever we're doing right. And if we take cues from the gay movement, being out of the closet, being just yourself, and just being visible in that form and being the person, like, you know, it used to be that nobody knew any relatives that were atheist. They also didn't know any relatives that were gay. And now a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I know a gay person. He's in my family. You know, he's on my mother's side.
I've ridden in an elevator with a gay person.
I've ridden in an elevator with an atheist. Yeah. Ride more elevators. That's it.
That's a good one. Yeah.
If I can make a very quick follow-up comment, I honestly think that that AOK and the affiliated organizations in this area have done a fantastic job doing exactly that. And I think the resultant success of AOK and its large membership and active membership is kind of a testament to that approach. Thank you.
I agree.
From everything that I can observe, I agree too.
You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that we are the seventh largest atheist group that use the term atheists on Meetup out of 763 different Meetup groups. But as little as 2 years ago, we were 50th. Now, back then, there were only like 500 groups. We were still up there. We were still really big. But we're battling against all these different ones, like the Seattle group that's out there, and Houston. Houston's really far up the group, but are really high up the ranking. But yeah, what we're doing is just PR. We are focusing on outreach. We're finding our people. Our people exist. We just need to find them. We hear so often that a lot of people don't realize that we're here, and we just need to make sure people find us.
I think the next step, once we have the visibility that we want, and I think there's still some fighting that needs to, or there's still some work that needs to be done there. But I think we're beginning to sort of turn the tables on that people understand that there are atheists and they are vocal sometimes about their atheism. We need to establish, I think, a context where we are already identified as an atheist, and so that's already taken care of, but we're there to do something else. Like you go to the churches, they have the day where you sit in the pews and be told what to do by some guy, but then you have the other nights where they're making casseroles, if it was the church by my house. I wanted to start a free thought homebrewing group because that's something I really enjoy doing. Are we going to talk about atheism the whole time? No, we're going to talk about why I can't handle IPAs the whole time. And that I think is going to be a very important step, is establishing, we call it the free thought community, but we have to extend beyond the bars and lecture set.
Absolutely.
Which is what most of it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we work at the food bank. You know, we're alongside these Christians, and eventually dialogue happens whenever you're captive like that.
Yeah.
And you know, different things like we have board game nights, and you know, we obviously do the social things of going out to bars and everything, but there's a lot of other little social events that we plan.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have 30 different meetups a month, so yeah. Getting out and actually being visible and showing that we're out in these different places.
I think as we have gone around the American West so far, that's one of the things that we just keep hearing is that, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, we were just minimal, and or we did just these things. In the last 3 years, we have grown. We have social events. We have service events. We have lectures. We have book clubs. We have student groups. And yep. Oklahoma is really seeming to continue that trend as we make our way across the country. And it's something that's so incredible. Yeah. As, you know, coming from...
It may be continuing to establish that trend, but it's looking like a bit of a high point from here. You guys are doing a really great job. Absolutely. And that's for you guys, applauding yourselves. So I got a lot of people to thank here. AOK, which is the organization that you're president of, that's a meetup. There were a bunch of other groups mentioned.
Yes.
And
I can go through those real quick.
Absolutely. By all means.
Northern Oklahoma Freethinkers, Norman Naturalism Group, Lawton Area Secular Society, Atheist Community of Tulsa, Oklahoma City Secular Parenting Group, the Tinker Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, which is military. Yeah, they have a good acronym, so I think they built it around that. But yeah, so we have a lot of little bitty groups that are splintered around, but... No, they're based off of geography.
And we talked to a lot of really interesting people today.
Yeah, Rebecca Witzman, and we had our two questions, and of course,
Damian
Red
Reinhardt.
Damian and Scott. Yeah,
Scott.
And
well,
and Red McCall.
That's all the time we have for today. This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv or leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. My name is Sam. With me today was Becky. And thank you very much, Red McCall, president of Oklahoma Atheists, or AOK. Next week, we are in St. Louis. We'll talk to you guys then. Thank you very much.
OklahomaAtheist.com.
Thank you. No post show, but we're going to go have a drink. Seriously, you guys are fantastic. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Thank you guys so much.
Both.